Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of this worship service, today we're celebrating the birthday of the church. Now, there is a little friendly disagreement among different Christians regarding when the birthday of the church is. For us, it is Pentecost, but as I was taught, for our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, the birth of the church was not the day of Pentecost, but that day when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they say, "Oh, some say the prophet, some say John the Baptist." And then Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Peter, the rock, said, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the one that we were expecting." And then Jesus said, "You, Simon, from now on, you will be called Peter," which means rock. And he said, "And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of heaven will not be able to stand against it." So for our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, that is the moment when the church was formed. And the church is built on the rock that is Peter. That's why the hierarchy is so important to our sisters and brothers in the Catholic Church. So Peter, the rock, the first pope, the hierarchy, is the foundation of the church. Now, Martin Luther and the other reformers had a different interpretation of that text. They believed that the rock upon which the church is built was not the person Peter, but the confession of Peter. That the foundation of the church, the rock upon which the church is built, is the confession that that man, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God, that he is the one that we have been waiting for. And it is on that confession that the church is built, and therefore not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. And so we do think that that text is important, and we do believe that the church is built on that foundation, that is that confession. But we believe that that's not when the church was born. We believe that the church was born on Pentecost, that day that we just heard about in the first reading, when the disciples were still scared, they were still in the upper room, they were gathered, they were praying together, and then something amazing happened. All of a sudden, there was a strong wind, and I just told the children that Ruach stands for breath and for spirit. It's also the same word for wind. So a holy Ruach came. They heard that sound. Then everything began to shake. And then all of a sudden, tongues as a fire appear on their heads. And they began to proclaim the wonders of God. So you see, that was the birth of the church. When Christ fulfilled his promise, he said, "It is better for you that I leave, because then I will send you another advocate." And remember, I preached a sermon to lawyers about how advocates were they had a patron saint in the Holy Spirit. So this is the fulfillment of that promise. God, through Christ, is sending them the power of the Holy Spirit to be within them. And that breath of God is not just instrumental. It's not just a breath. But it's the very presence of God in our midst. We believe that that breath of God is the indwelling of God in the world and the indwelling of God within us. We believe that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit in our heart that we are able to believe Peter's confession. Without the Holy Spirit, we can admire Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we can think that Christ was real. We can think that Christ was a really holy man. But it is only by the power and the action of the Holy Spirit within us that we can kneel down like Thomas before Christ and say, "My Lord and my God." It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can see in that man our Savior, our Lord, our brother, our friend that God has sent to save us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our heart gives us both gifts and fruits. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, according to Paul in the letter to the Galatians, are kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and above all, love, joy, peace, and patience. You see, the Holy Spirit indwells in us and transforms us We can feel the presence of the Spirit. Now, this is not something that happens instantaneously. Otherwise, the world would be a very different place. That is why we keep coming to the means of grace by which we receive the Spirit. We keep coming to hear the Word, to receive the sacraments, so that the Spirit within us keeps getting activated and we continue to be transformed again and again, more like Christ. Martin Luther used to say that the Holy Spirit turns us into small Christs or little Christs for our neighbors. But if I stay there, if that is all I say about the Holy Spirit, then I am falling into a trap that the church in the West has fallen into very often. And it's the trap of thinking about the faith in two individualistic terms that are foreign to the way the biblical authors thought, that is foreign to the promises of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is not given to me just so that I can feel a strange warming of my heart, as John Wesley put it. That is true. We do feel that strange warmth in our heart. But it is not just for my own sake. Now, if you heard the second reading that we read today, the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, it said that the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. The Holy Spirit is not given for the well-being of the individual only, but for the common good. So the Holy Spirit is given to allow us to become the body of Christ in the world so that we can continue to do the work of Christ in the world. The Holy Spirit brings individuals together and creates a larger whole, something bigger, something greater, something that is more than the sum of its parts. That is what the Holy Spirit does. As I was telling the children, when the world was only a messy nothingness, in Hebrew, they use in the opening verses of the book of Genesis, they use a word that doesn't mean much. It's like children speaking. It says that the world was a tohu babohu, like a blah, blah, blah of nothingness, a tohu babohu. And then God sends the Holy Spirit. That is translated as the waters at the beginning, the nothingness of the waters. And then when the Holy Spirit moves, then all of a sudden that becomes a universe. We have the stars, we have the elements, we have animals, we have human beings that emerge because God has sent the Holy Spirit. In the vision of the prophet Ezekiel, when he's standing and he sees the dry bones, then God sends the Holy Spirit. And then those bones come together. They have flesh, and then they have life. You see, the Holy Spirit brings fragments into new holes. And then in coming to that new hole, we don't lose ourselves the way that you would in a cult. But by belonging to that larger hole that is the church, that is the body of Christ, then we are also fulfilled. Then I become my true self when I am in right relation to you and to God. So the Holy Spirit is sent to us, is sent to us to form the church, to create a new reality in the world that is the church. And that church, we believe, is the body of Christ. In the same way that we believe that in that piece of bread, we are receiving the full body of Christ, the whole person of Christ. And in that cup, we are receiving Christ. We also believe that we as the church, together, collectively, we are the body of Christ in the world. But again, it's for something other than ourselves. You see, the church is a really strange thing because it has its center outside of itself. The center of the church, the essence of the church, the reason for our being is outside ourselves. It's for the sake of others. Now, listen to the words that Jesus uttered at the very beginning of his ministry when we started preaching. This is what he said according to Luke. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of right to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So it is for that same mission that you have received the Holy Spirit. It is for that same mission that the Holy Spirit has constituted us, us of all people, into the body of Christ, so that we too can bring good news to the poor, so that we too can be sent to proclaim release to the captives, not only to those that are in captivity because they cannot go away from where they are, but also in captivity because of fear, because of sin, because of cultural practices that confine them to certain ways of being and not others. We are sent to proclaim the recovery of sight to the blind, and we are sent to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So the church is called to continue the work of the Lord by helping feed the poor, as we talk about at the beginning of the service that we do through ACCA. We are called to ensure that there's shelter for the homeless. Now, we can debate about what are the best ways to do this. We can debate whether capitalism is a better way to help the poor, or whether socialism, or whether Democrats, or whether the Republicans. We can debate about all that. What we cannot debate about is that it is our call, it is our reason of being, to be there to help those that are most vulnerable in our society. That is what is not debatable, because that is what we have been formed for. That is why the Spirit has been given to us. And these days, not only people are poor, but as John Sobrino, a famous Latin American theologian, has argued convincingly, the planet has become a poor also among us. The planet has become one of the most vulnerable ones among us, other species, ecosystems. And we are also called to be good stewards of that beautiful creation that God has given us. So we have the responsibility as the church to protect the planet, to engage in conversations about what are the best ways in which we can make good use of this gift that God has given us in the planet, but in a way that replenishes it and that gives life and does not deteriorate it. But above all else, we are also called, well, we're not called, it is a gift that we receive. You see, it says that the youth will have visions, and your elderly will dream dreams. And I think it is the privilege of the church to share a vision to the world of how things could be. We all know how things are, but what we are given through the power of the Spirit is a vision that a different world is possible. We are given a vision by God Himself of what kind of world God wants to bring into being. And we have the privilege of being an embodiment of Christ, so that we too can become artisans, architects, workers, co-workers of God in bringing about that world. Now, we cannot do that on our own, but it is our privilege to be God's workers in that great work that God is bringing about. So that is what we celebrate today. It is the birth of the church. It is the birth of this community of people that are quirky and crazy and there to hope that a different reality is possible. And we are there when we to roll up our sleeves and get to act and get to work and make it possible. So let's celebrate our birthday.